products on the market. Not only do they taste great, but soy has been lauded for lowering cholesterol, protecting against cancer, reducing the risk of heart attacks, and helping the body to better utilize calcium. Phytoestrogens found in soy help protect women from breast cancer and can alleviate menopausal symptoms. However, there are opponents to soy who claim that it can negatively impact the thyroid, causing mineral deficiencies and raise the risk of breast cancer. But according to health expert Dr. Andrew Weil, there is still much to be learned about soy, but the majority of research so far has shown that it's a safe and nutritious food when eaten in reasonable amounts, about 1 or 2 daily servings. We encourage you to think for yourself and make your own decision. If you decide to eat soy products that imitate meat products, know that these foods may not taste exactly like the real thing. But once you get rid of your meat addiction, you'll be satisfied with the substitutes. You just need to spend a few weeks and dollars experimenting until you find the ones you like. Veggie burgers exist by the dozen. Health is wealth makes fake buffalo wings that taste so good your pubes will fall out. Garden Burger's flame-grilled chicken is so amazing you might have to kill yourself. Lightlife has a kick-ass line of cold cuts and fabulous bacon. One amazing website is www.veggieworld.com. It is an Asian mail-order company that not only sells fake chicken and meat, but has fake seafood, too. But you don't have to look far. Seek and ye shall find. We list lots of meatless wonders in Chapter 11. But remember, getting skinny means using your head. You must read all the ingredients and make sure there are no animal products in anything you buy. For the rest of your skinny life, every time you buy something that you will be swallowing, you must read the ingredients. Chapter 5. The Dairy Disaster. Go suck your mother's tits. Well, go on. Suck your mother's tits. What, you think this is ridiculous? It is. Get ready to use your head. When a woman gives birth, her body produces milk and she nurses her child. Breast milk can grow an 8-pound newborn into a 24-pound toddler. Sounds pretty fattening, huh? It is. By design, it is intended to allow for the biggest growth spurt of a person's entire life. Breast milk alone can accommodate for a 300% weight gain in a 12-month period. When her child is anywhere from 12 to 24 months old, a mother stops breastfeeding. Her milk dries up. The child will never drink breast milk ever again. Cows, like all mammals, are much the same. Their bodies produce milk only when they give birth. Contrary to popular belief, they do not need to be milked, ever. Their udders, like women's breasts, exist even when there is no milk in them. There is one major difference, however. Cow's milk, by design, grows a 90-pound calf into a 2,000-pound cow over the course of 2 years. It allows calves to double their birth weight in 47 days and leaves their 4 stomachs feeling full. Sounds even more fattening than human milk, right? It is. It should be. Cows are bigger than humans, and the inner workings of their bodies are completely different than ours, which they should be. They are cows. We are humans. Duh. Mammals need the enzyme lactase to digest lactose, the sugar found in dairy. However, between the ages of 18 months and 4 years, we lose 90 to 95% of this enzyme. The undigested lactose and the acidic nature of pasteurized milk encourage the growth of bacteria in our intestines. All this contributes to a greater risk of cancer, because cancer cells thrive in acidic conditions. Got mucus? Dairy products produce mucus, and often the body will develop a cold or allergies to fight the dairy invasion. Mother Nature is no fool. All species, including ours, have just what we need to get by. She did not intend for grown-ups to suck their mother's tits. We don't need our mother's milk as adults, just like grown cows don't need their mother's milk anymore. We are the only species on the planet that drinks milk as adults. We are also the only species on the planet that drinks the milk of another species. We could be putting gorilla milk on our cereal, or having zebra milk and cookies. Why cow's milk? Using the animal that produces the largest quantity of milk, but is more easily housed than an elephant, means more money for farmers. It has nothing to do with health or nutrition. Again, it all comes back to money. The dairy industry is a multi-billion dollar industry based on brilliant marketing and the addictive taste of milk, butter, and cheese. It has convinced most doctors, consumers, and government agencies that we need cow's milk. We have been told our whole lives, you need milk to grow. Without milk, your bones will break. If you don't drink milk, you'll get osteoporosis. You need the calcium. Bullshit. Researchers at Harvard, Yale, Penn State, and the National Institutes of Health have studied the effects of dairy intake on bones. Not one of these studies found dairy to be a deterrent to osteoporosis. On the contrary, a study funded by the National Dairy Council itself revealed that the high protein content of dairy actually leaches calcium from the body. After looking at 34 published studies in 16 countries, researchers at Yale University found that the countries with the highest rates of osteoporosis, including the United States, Sweden, and Finland, were those in which people consumed the most meat, milk, and other animal foods. Another study showed that though 40 million American women have osteoporosis, only 250,000 African women have bone disease. In fact, of the 40 tribes in Kenya and Tanzania, only one, the Maasai, has members suffering from osteoporosis. The Maasai, as it happens, are a cattle-owning, milk-drinking tribe. Dairy products have been linked to a host of other problems, too, including acne, anemia, anxiety, arthritis, attention deficit disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, fibromyalgia, headaches, heartburn, indigestion, irritable bowel syndrome, joint pain, osteoporosis, poor immune function, allergies, ear infections, colic, obesity, heart disease, diabetes, autism, Crohn's disease, breast and prostate cancers, and ovarian cancer. Harvey and Marilyn Diamond, authors of the best-selling follow-up, Fit for Life 2, clearly state, dairy products are disease-producing. They're harmful. They cause suffering. They're the perfect thing to eat if you want to be sick and have a diseased body. The dietitians and nutritionists who are mouthpieces and cheerleaders for the dairy industry, telling you that dairy products are a good food, should hide their heads in shame, not only for leading the innocent to believe that dairy products are actually valuable, but also for failing to keep abreast of the field about which they are supposed to know something. Yes, we are saying it is common knowledge in the medical research field that dairy is bad for you. Yes, we are saying that the executives in the dairy industry are well aware of this fact, but make claims that milk does a body good. How do they get away with this? Easily. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars every year to market their products, and average consumers don't spend their time perusing medical journals, but they do read magazines and watch television. What about medical doctors? Why do they believe that milk is beneficial? It is a sad fact that in this country, most doctors know almost nothing about nutrition. According to a Senate investigation, doctors receive less than 3 hours of nutritional training in medical school. They have been duped like the rest of us. Let's pretend for a moment that cow's milk is healthy for humans. Even if it were, by the time factory farms were done with it, it wouldn't be. Dioxin, one of the most toxic substances in the world, is often found in dairy products. And remember, for factory farms, higher production means bigger profits. When you consume dairy products, you are ingesting the same antibiotics, pesticides, steroids, and hormones you would if you ate meat directly. Cows are injected with bovine growth hormone. Their udders, under normal conditions, would supply about 10 pounds of milk a day. Greedy farmers have their cows producing up to 100 pounds of milk a day. There is no gentle farmer milking the cow with a bucket between his feet. Cows are milked by machine. Metal clamps are attached to the cow's sensitive udders. The udders become sore and infected, pus forms, but the machines keep on milking, sucking the dead white blood cells into the milk. How freaking gross is that? To get rid of all the bacteria and other shit, milk must be pasteurized. But pasteurization destroys beneficial enzymes and makes calcium less available without even killing all the viruses or bacteria. Hell, even radioactive particles are found in milk. But don't the government and U.S. Department of Agriculture protect us from all this? Hell no! Sickening high levels of pesticides found in dairy meet government standards. Records from the Food and Drug Administration shows that virtually 100% of the cheese products produced and sold in the U.S. has detectable pesticide residues. Milk is not a reliable source of minerals. You get much higher levels of manganese, chromium, selenium, and magnesium from fruits and vegetables. Fruits and veggies are also high in boron, which helps lessen the loss of calcium through urine. Consuming high amounts of dairy blocks iron absorption, contributing to iron deficiency. So, do you need calcium by the trough? Nope. A simple way to get adequate calcium is by including the following foods in your diet. Fortified grains, kale, collard greens, mustard greens, cabbage, kelp, seaweed, watercress, chickpeas, broccoli, red beans, soybeans, tofu, seeds, sesame seeds rate among the highest, and raw nuts. It is just that simple. But don't be looking to pop a calcium pill as a quick fix. Research shows that supplements do not make a significant difference in preventing or treating osteoporosis. Good news? 15 minutes of direct sunlight every day aids in vitamin D absorption, which means stronger bones. How about eggs, you ask? When a woman is pregnant and she drinks alcohol or does drugs, it affects her unborn child, right? Right. Well, it is the same with chickens and their unhatched eggs. When you eat eggs, you are ingesting all the same hormones, pesticides, chemicals, and steroids as if you were eating the chicken directly. So if you really believe that eating just egg whites isn't fattening, we've got a bridge we can sell you. Eggs are high in saturated fat and are completely disgusting when you think about what you are eating. Try that for once. Actually think about what you are eating. You will pee in your pants when you see how much weight you will lose from giving up dairy. The fat in cheese is what gives it the taste and texture we love. Of the calories found in cheese, 70 to 80% come from fat. Even if you're buying the low-fat, part-skim nonsense, more than half the calories come from fat. Fat-free? Ugh, give us a freaking break. Remember what milk is for? It is designed to fatten up baby cows. Do you really believe it can be made fat-free? Get your head out of your ass! Milk equals fat. Butter equals fat. Cheese equals fat. People who think these products can be low-fat or fat-free equals fucking morons. Luckily, there are many alternatives to dairy products. Not only do grocery stores carry these items, but many coffee shops now offer soy milk, and some bakeries are selling dairy-free desserts. A personal favorite-tasting milk substitute is Rice Dream Original Enriched, which is fortified with vitamins and calcium. But feel free to experiment until you find your own favorite brand. Remember to read the ingredients. Avoid the milk substitutes that contain sugar. Instead of butter, try Earth Balance Natural Buttery Spread or Soy Garden Natural Buttery Spread, both made from non-hydrogenated oils. Can't live without ice cream? You don't have to. Soy Delicious has incredible knockoffs, which are completely dairy-free. They even make must-have flavors such as Chunky Mint Madness, Cookie Avalanche, Rocky Road, and peanut butter zigzag. They also have a line of ice creams and sorbets that are fruit-sweetened, dairy, and sugar-free. Ooh, too exciting for words. We're also huge fans of Double Rainbow Soy Cream, another amazing ice cream alternative. Are you a cheese addict? No problem. Follow Your Heart's Vegan Gourmet makes a kick-ass substitute in mozzarella, Monterey Jack, and nacho. It even melts. It rules. Beware of the many brands that tout themselves as soy cheese, leading consumers to believe they're dairy-free. When you get past the misleading packaging and actually read the ingredients, you'll discover sneaky dairy ingredients like whey or casein. Steer clear. Other brands are completely dairy-free, but, ugh, they taste like shit. Need eggs in your life? Easy peasy. Egg beaters are made of real eggs, so they're a gross no-no. But if you pan-fry house tofu steak, slice it in half first, and add a little soy butter, salt, pepper, and ketchup, you've got yourself a fried egg. There's also an egg substitute in powder form for cooking and baking called Energy Egg Replacer, and many markets sell a pretty good tofu egg salad. As the demand grows for healthy, yummy, animal-free, dairy-free products, more companies will supply us with these foods. So let your consumer dollars voice your desire, and your body will be rewarded. And don't be shy. If your grocery store doesn't carry something you want, open your fat mouth and ask for it. Chapter 6. You are what you eat. Now would be a good time to reflect on the old adage, you are what you eat. This statement, in all its simplicity, is brilliant. You are what you eat. You are a human body comprised of organs, blood and guts, and other shit. The food you put into your body works its way through your organs and bloodstream and is actually part of who you are. So every time you put crap in your body, you are crap. If chapters 4 and 5 didn't convince you to avoid eating animal products, crap, maybe this will. Even knowing how abysmal the living conditions are for animals on factory farms, you cannot begin to imagine what the slaughter practices are like. Humane protocol calls for animals to be stunned before they are slaughtered. For cows, this means getting a metal bolt shot into the skull and then retracted. When done properly, using working equipment, this renders the cow unconscious. But time is money, and slaughterhouses operate at lightning speeds, some killing one animal every 3 seconds, because thousands of frightened, struggling cows are not easy to stun. It is extremely common for a stunner to miss his mark. Panicked hogs, also difficult to hit, are stunned with an electric device, and if the jolt is too high, it bruises and bloodies the hog's flesh. Bad for business. Because business comes first on factory farms, the jolt is lowered, despite the fact that it doesn't properly stun the hogs. Stunned or not, cows and hogs are then strung up from the ceiling by a chain attached to their legs. In theory, while they dangle there, they are supposed to be unconscious. But often, they are fully conscious, struggling, screaming, and fearfully staring at the workers while they have their throats stabbed open. Next, they travel along a bleed rail, where they should bleed to death. But again, these large, frightened, struggling, conscious animals are difficult targets, and the stickers, workers who cut their throats, don't always get a good cut. Before cows can bleed to death, they are sent on their way to the head skinners, where the skin is sliced from their heads while they are still conscious. Of course, this is excruciatingly painful, and the cows kick and struggle frantically. To avoid getting injured by the struggling animal, workers will sometimes sever the spinal cord with a knife blow to the back of the head. This paralyzes the animal below the neck so that the worker is safe, but these cows can still feel their skin being sliced away from their faces. Next, their legs and head are chopped off, their entrails removed from their bodies, and then finally they are split in half. Often, before hogs can bleed to death, they are dunked fully conscious into 140-degree scalding water to remove the hair from their bodies. Chickens, because they are so overcrowded and stressed, frequently peck each other and factory farm workers, so the ends of their beaks are literally chopped off their faces. Even though they currently comprise more than 95% of all animals slaughtered for food, Congress exempted chickens and turkeys from the Humane Slaughter Act, so there is no requirement to stun them, not that it would matter anyway. But because it is easier to handle chickens that aren't fighting for their lives, their heads are sometimes dragged through a water bath that has been electrically charged. This paralyzes the birds, but does not render them unconscious. They are snatched up, shackled upside down, and their throats are slashed by machine at the rate of thousands per hour. Next, they are dunked in scalding water to loosen their feathers. Again, they are supposed to be dead at this point, but if the machine misses its mark or the chickens haven't bled to death, they are boiled alive. Then they are placed into a series of machines that literally beat their feathers off of them, still alive and having just been scalded. All the while they are being handled like rubber toys, grabbed by their necks, feet, or wings, and thrown around. You get the idea. In egg-laying factories, male baby chicks are completely useless to farmers because they don't produce eggs. So workers snatch up chicks speeding by on a conveyor belt, quickly glance at their undersides, and then toss the useless males into the garbage. Yes, literally. Millions of male baby chicks are piled on top of each other in garbage dumpsters, left to die. In her book, Slaughterhouse, Gail Eisnitz, chief investigator for the Humane Farming Association, interviewed dozens of slaughterhouse workers throughout the country. Every single one admitted to abusing animals or neglecting to report those who did. The following are quotes from slaughterhouse workers taken from her book. They are quite graphic and difficult to listen to, but we implore you to listen to each one. It is important to know what our dietary desires are contributing to. Surely you can endure listening to it if animals have to endure suffering it.
I've seen them take those stunners. They're about as long as a yardstick, and shove it up the hog's ass. They do it with cows, too. And in their ears. Their eyes, down their throat. They'll be squealing and they'll just shove it right down there. Hogs get stressed out pretty easy. If you prod them too much, they have heart attacks. If you get a hog in a chute that's had the shit prodded out of him and has a heart attack or refuses to move, you take a meat hook and hook it into his bunghole, anus. You're dragging these hogs alive, and a lot of times the meat hook rips out of the bunghole. I've seen hams, thighs completely ripped open. I've also seen intestines come out. If the hog collapses near the front of the chute, you shove the meat hook into his cheek and drag him forward. Or in their mouth. The roof of their mouth. And they're still alive. Pigs on the kill floor have come up and nuzzled me like a puppy. 2 minutes later, I had to kill him. Beat him to death with a pipe. These hogs get up to the scalding tank, hit the water and start screaming and kicking. Sometimes they thrash so much they kick water out of the tank. Sooner or later, they drown. There's a rotating arm that pushes them under. No chance for them to get out. I'm not sure if they burn to death before they drown, but it takes them a couple of minutes to stop thrashing. Sometimes I grab it, a hog, by the ear and stick it right through the eye. I'm not just taking its eye out. I'll go all the way to the hilt, right up through the brain and wiggle the knife. Only you don't just kill it. You go in hard, push hard, blow the windpipe, make it drown in its own blood. Split its nose. A live hog would be running around the pit. It would just be looking up at me, and I'd be sticking. And I would just take my knife and cut its eye out while it was just sitting there, and this hog would scream. Now, I could tell you horror stories about cattle getting their heads stuck under the gate guards, and the only way you can get it out is to cut their heads off while they're still alive. He'll kick them, hogs, fork them, use anything he can get his hands on. He's already broken 3 pitchforks so far this year, just jabbing them. He doesn't care if he hits its eye, head, butt. He jabs him so hard he busts the wooden handles, and he clubs him over the back. I've seen live animals shackled, hoisted, stuck, and skinned. Too many to count. too many to remember. It's just a process that's continually there. I've seen shackled beef looking around before they've been stuck. I've seen hogs, they're supposed to be lying down, on the bleeding conveyor get up after they've been stuck. I've seen hogs in the scalding tub trying to swim. I've seen guys take broomsticks and stick it up the cows behind, screwing them with a broom. I've drugged cows till their bones start breaking while they're still alive, bringing them around the corner and they get stuck up in the doorway. Just pull them till their hide be ripped, till the blood just dripped down the steel and concrete. Breaking their legs, and the cow be crying with its tongue stuck out. They pull him till his neck just pop. One time, I took my knife, it's sharp enough, and I sliced off the end of a hog's nose, just like a piece of bologna. The hog went crazy for a few seconds. Then it just sat there looking kind of stupid. So I took a handful of salt brine and ground it into its nose. Now that hog really went nuts, pushing its nose all over the place. I still had a bunch of salt left in my hand. I was wearing a rubber glove, and I stuck the salt right up the hog's ass. Poor hog didn't know whether to shit or go blind. Nobody knows who's responsible for correcting animal abuse at the plant. The USDA does zilch.
Eisnitz chronicled the constant failure of U.S. Department of Agriculture inspectors to stop this abuse and their willingness to look the other way. In addition, she exposed the USDA's blatant tolerance for allowing contaminated meat into the human food supply. Think about it. 10 billion animals a year. Do you think the USDA has enough inspectors to supervise the humane and safe slaughter of 10 billion animals a year? Of course the inspectors tolerate abuse and contaminated meat. Imagine the kind of person who would have a job that entailed witnessing the slaughter of thousands of innocent animals every day. Even if every single inspector did a good job, they don't. The factory workers can easily bypass the system. Eisnitz interviewed one worker from a horse slaughterhouse. Speaking of a contaminated horse, he said,
"Might be a part of him's bad. Might be the pneumonia's traveled everywhere. I'd drag him back and my boss would tell me to cut the hindquarters off and bring him into the cooler. The meat's supposed to be condemned, but you'd still cut it up and bag it."
When Eisnitz asked, "But don't they have to be stamped USDA inspected?" he responded,
"Hey,"
his boss,
"got the stamper. He can stamp it himself when the doc leaves. You take a condemned horse, skin him, cut him up, sell the meat. We've sold it as beef."
According to the congressional testimony of one former Purdue worker, the poultry plants are filthy. She said there were flies, rats, and 5-inch-long flying cockroaches covering the walls and floors. Believe it or not, it gets worse. After they are hung, sometimes the chickens fall off into the drain that runs down the middle of the line. This is where roaches, intestines, diseased parts, fecal contamination, and blood are washed down. Workers vomit into the drain. Employees are constantly chewing and spitting out snuff or tobacco on the floor. Sometimes they have to relieve themselves on the floor. The Purdue supervisors told us to take the fallen chickens out of the drain and send them down the line. A USDA inspector said of the cockroaches, "One time, we shined a flashlight into a hole they were crawling in and out, and they were so thick it was like maggots. You couldn't even see the surface." A worker at another poultry plant said,
"Every day I saw black chicken, green chicken, chicken that stank, and chicken with feces on it. Chicken like this is supposed to be thrown away, but instead it would be sent down the line to be processed."
Another worker at another plant said,
"I've personally seen rotten meat. You can tell by the odor. This rotten meat is mixed with the fresh meat and sold for baby food. We are asked to mix it with the fresh food, and this is the way it is sold. You can see the worms inside the meat."
No comment. We are simply speechless. Animals are intelligent, emotional, social creatures. Researchers at Bristol University in Britain discovered that cows actually nurture friendships and bear grudges. One study showed cows displaying excitement while solving intellectual challenges. Chickens are as smart as mammals, including some primates, claims animal behaviorist Dr. Chris Evans of Macquarie University in Australia. They are apt pupils and can learn by watching the mistakes of others. One researcher conducted a study that demonstrated chickens' ability to use switches and levers to change the temperature of their surroundings. A PBS documentary revealed chickens' love for television and music. Pigs can play video games. They have been labeled as more intelligent than dogs and 3-year-old humans. They, too, can indicate their temperature preferences. Even fish have feelings, Dr. Donald Broom, scientific advisor to the British government, explains. The scientific literature is quite clear. Anatomically, physiologically, and biologically, the pain system in fish is virtually the same as in birds and animals. Fish, like higher vertebrates, have neurotransmitters similar to endorphins that relieve suffering. Of course, the only reason for their nervous systems to produce painkillers is to relieve pain. Animals hear the screaming and crying of other animals being slaughtered and are terrified. They know they are about to be killed, and they are panic-stricken. When their young are taken from them, cows kick stall walls in rage and frustration and literally cry with grief. Think of how you feel when you are angry, afraid, and grief-stricken. Bear in mind the physical feelings that accompany these emotions. These emotions, fear, grief, and rage, produce chemical changes in our bodies. They do the same to animals. Their blood pressures rise. Adrenaline courses through their bodies. You are eating high blood pressure, stress, and adrenaline. You are eating fear, grief, and rage. You are eating suffering, horror, and murder. You are eating cruelty. You are what you eat. You cannot be thin and beautiful with a glowing complexion when you eat fear, grief, and rage. Although a minuscule percentage of meat in the United States comes from free-range farms, how do you even know it is really free-range? Companies want us to believe that products labeled free-range or free-roaming are derived from animals that spent their short lives outdoors enjoying sunshine, fresh air, and the company of other animals. But labels, other than organic, on egg cartons are not subject to any government regulations. In addition, the USDA doesn't regulate free-range or free-roaming claims for beef products. Because there are no agencies governing these claims, do you take the word of someone who makes a living on blood money? And even if the farm was free-range and humane, the animals are still being sent to horrific slaughterhouses. An undercover video of a kosher slaughterhouse revealed animals suffering the same abuse and torture. Many animals don't even survive the transport from their factory or free-range farm to slaughter. The only law in existence dictating care for transported animals is related to train transport. But it just so happens that 95% of animals are transported by truck. They receive no food or water and no protection from the elements. Hundreds of thousands of animals are dead on arrival or too injured or sick to move. They don't get to stop for bathroom breaks, so the animals are forced to stand in their own urine and feces. In the wintertime, the animals' flesh and feet will actually freeze to the bottom and sides of the truck. So upon arrival, they are literally ripped away from the truck. One worker interviewed by Eisnitz said, "They freeze to that steel railing. They're still alive, and they'll hook a cable on it and pull it out. Maybe pull a leg off." Assuming you started with a healthy animal, highly unlikely, you've now eaten hormones, pesticides, steroids, antibiotics, fear, grief, and rage. You are what you eat. But what if the animal wasn't healthy? Animals that are too sick or injured to walk are literally dragged to slaughter, one end of a chain attached to the animal, the other to a truck. The USDA still allowed these animals, referred to as downers, to be slaughtered for human consumption until 2004. Finally, with the outbreak of more mad cow disease cases, a deadly and incurable disease that can be transmitted to humans through the consumption of cow flesh, they came to their senses. But in 2005, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns announced that downed animals may once again be slaughtered for human food. So in addition to all the other filth you're eating, you're also eating whatever illness the animal had. You are what you eat. Let's make believe that all the animals killed for human consumption are healthy, happy, free of antibiotics, steroids, and pesticides, and are humanely raised and slaughtered. Pretend you are eating perfect meat. Great. But what exactly are you eating? Meat is the decomposing, decaying, rotting flesh of a dead animal. As soon as an animal dies, it starts breaking down. How long has passed between when the animal was slaughtered and the time you are eating it? It could be weeks, even months. You want to put a dead animal corpse that has been rotting away for months in your mouth? In your body? Because meat is muscle tissue, it oxidizes in an open environment and turns brown. So most meat markets will scrape off the brown parts to make it look more appealing. Another trick of the trade is using tinted lighting in open meat cases to enhance the meat's color. Restaurants and ranchers might call their meat aged to perfection, but no matter how you slice it, it's still a putrefying corpse. You are what you eat. Just because you can't see what's happening doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Every time you have a craving for meat or dairy, remember what goes on inside every slaughterhouse, processing plant, and grocery store. Linda McCartney said it best. If slaughterhouses had glass walls, we'd all be vegetarians. For added motivation with your new lifestyle, visit goveg.com and order a free vegetarian starter kit. So now you are officially vegan, a person who doesn't eat any animal products. No meat, chicken, pork, fish, eggs, milk, cheese, or butter. Feel great about it. Yes, it is challenging to avoid these foods, but you will reap the karmic rewards of being vegan, like being skinny. For starters, you're sparing the lives of at least 90 animals a year. And every environmentalist knows that factory farming is completely destroying the environment. As ridiculous as it sounds, the methane resulting from the burps and farts of 10 billion animals a year is directly responsible for global warming. The urine and feces are polluting and contaminating soil and water all over the country. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, they are the largest polluters of U.S. waterways. Moreover, the amount of land, food, water, and energy used to raise 10 billion animals a year for slaughter could be used to grow food for all of the starving people in the world. That's right. You being vegan is actually a step toward ending world hunger. Now that's some serious skinny karma. So you shouldn't eat cows, chickens, pigs, fish, milk, cheese, or eggs? So what the hell should you eat? Pretty much everything else. Fruits, vegetables, legumes, nuts, seeds, and whole grains. Deep down, you've known all along that these foods are best for you. Now it's time to get back on track. Our diets have strayed so far off course from where they belong. We've allowed meat to take center stage with grains and vegetables playing supporting roles. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There is a plethora of great-tasting, healthy, wholesome foods that you've likely been neglecting for years. Well, those days are over. Can you remember back to your grade school days when you learned about photosynthesis? Plants stored the sun's energy, which we received by eating them. If you can, just picture the light energy from the sun beaming down to the vegetables and fruits, and as we eat those foods, imagine that energy being transmitted into our bodies. Our nervous systems are maintained and stimulated by this light. What an amazing gift from nature to be able to eat such pure foods that give our bodies so much. However, be advised, All fruits and vegetables are not created equal. Plants need vitamins and minerals to function and grow properly. When they are sprayed with pesticides and grown in chemically treated soil, they won't absorb all the proper nutrients. This results in a loss of enzymes. So organic fruits and vegetables, ones that have been grown in pure, untreated soil and without pesticides, have far more enzymes than their conventionally grown counterparts. Any scientist can tell you that food has an energy or life to it. Anyone with common sense can tell you that eating a live, fresh fruit is healthier than eating a cooked, canned, preserved one. Why? Because this life comes from the plant's energy, nutrients, phytochemicals, and enzymes. Enzymes are living biochemical factors that we need to survive. They are critical for digestion, breathing, reproduction, and the functioning of DNA and RNA. They also help repair and heal our organs, detoxify our bodies, carry out our nerve impulses, and help us think. There are three types of enzymes: metabolic, digestive, and food enzymes. Fortunately, we produce our own metabolic enzymes, which run the whole body, maintain our health, and defend us from illness and infection. But our own enzyme supplies are limited, so to continue healthy bodily functions, we need to supplement with food. When we eat, our bodies release digestive enzymes to break down the food. If we eat foods devoid of enzymes, such as meat, processed food, and even just overcooked food, high temperatures destroy enzymes, our bodies have to work much harder. Harder work means using more of our precious enzymes. Over time, this can result in an enlargement of the digestive organs and of the endocrine glands. Studies have shown that the increased weight of these organs accompanies obesity. This lack of enzymes can also cause a disruption in the body's ability to make enough metabolic enzymes. But when we eat foods high in enzymes, such as fruits, salad, or lightly steamed veggies, we get an enzyme boost along with the meal, so our bodies don't have to work so hard. There is no greater defender of our bodies than enzymes. When not in use for digestion, enzymes are busy repairing and cleaning our bodies. So don't go throwing your enzymes away on shit. So how do we get these enzymes into our bodies? We just need to make the following foods part of our daily diets. Fruits, especially pineapples, papayas, bananas, and mangoes. Raw or lightly steamed vegetables, raw nuts and seeds, wheatgrass, sea vegetables, garlic, and legumes. Juicing is a great way to detoxify your body and get a lot of enzymes, but you must drink it right away. As soon as a fruit is peeled or cut or juiced, it begins to lose its enzymes. So buying a gallon of fresh squeezed juice isn't as beneficial as making your own daily. Packaged juice has been pasteurized, and the heat destroys the enzymes. Granted, it's still better to drink pasteurized juice than soda. So, if you can't juice for yourself, do the best you can. Well, there you have it. Fruits and vegetables are the answer. And unless you are an idiot who wants cancer, obesity, and enlarged organs, organic is the way to go. You are what you eat. Chapter 7. The myths and lies about protein. If we had a penny for every time some meathead asked us, "So, where do you get your protein?" we'd be richer than Oprah. Have you ever, ever, ever in your entire life heard of anyone suffering from a protein deficiency? Did you ever see an elephant, moose, or giraffe jonesing for a protein fix? If you weren't blacked out on bourbon for the past three chapters, you should know by now. It is a complete myth that we need a massive amount of protein. Too much protein, especially animal protein, can impair our kidneys, leach calcium, zinc, vitamin B, iron, and magnesium from our bodies, and cause osteoporosis, heart disease, cancer, and obesity. In addition, high amounts of protein can damage our tissues, organs, and cells, contributing to faster aging. Yikes! Know this. People in other cultures consume half the amount of protein that we do, yet they live longer, healthier lives. Although too much is harmful, protein is still vital to our health. Protein produces enzymes, hormones, neurotransmitters, and antibodies, replaces worn-out cells, transports various substances throughout the body, and aids in our growth and repair. So, how much protein do we really need? Well, depending who you ask, that number varies anywhere from 18 to 60 grams a day, but one thing is certain, vegetarians need not worry. Researchers at Harvard found that vegetarians who don't live on junk food get adequate amounts of protein in their diets. The American Dietetic Association reports that eating a vegetarian diet provides twice the amount of protein needed daily. In his book, Optimal Health, Dr. Patrick Holford explains that most people are in more danger of eating too much protein than too little. So pick something else to be neurotic about. How do vegans get protein? Simply, we eat lentils, beans, nuts, seeds, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and soy products, edamame, tofu, imitation cheeses, and meats. When you eat well-balanced meals consisting of these foods, you are guaranteed to get sufficient protein. For example, for lunch, if you had a soy burger on a whole grain bun with avocado and tomato and a small side salad, you'd get 22 grams of protein. See how easy? If you want an extra boost, treat yourself to spirulina, a high-protein algae that contains omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, B12, important for vegetarians, enzymes, and minerals. It also supports the immune system, fights cancer, and helps with hypoglycemia, anemia, ulcers, diabetes, and chronic fatigue syndrome. Spirulina also contains all 9 essential amino acids. Amino acids, huh? Yep. There are 20 amino acids. Our bodies produce 11, and the other 9 essential amino acids can be obtained through food. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. And yes, protein does build muscle. But even if you work out and want to build muscle, you don't need to overdose on animal protein. A ridiculous myth perpetuated by the health club industry. Bear in mind, some top athletes are vegetarians. Chris Campbell is an Olympic wrestling champion, Keith Holmes, a world champion middleweight boxer, Bill Minetti, a powerlifting champion, Bill Pearl, a 4-time Mr. Universe, Andres Colling, a champion bodybuilder and Olympic gold medalist in the ski jump, Art Still, a Hall of Famer and MVP defensive end for the NFL, Martina Navratilova, a tennis champion, and Dr. Ruth Heydrich, a 6-time Iron Woman age group record holder, U.S. track and field masters champion, and vegan. Another common myth that has since been debunked is the food combining theory. Animal flesh proteins are complete, meaning they contain all 9 essential amino acids in amounts similar to those found in human flesh. Plants have all these amino acids too, just in slightly different amounts. It was previously believed that in order to create complete proteins from vegetarian foods, you needed to combine them in specific ways. For example, it was said rice and beans had to be eaten together to maximize their protein potential. However, it is now known that eating a variety of foods from plant sources provides all the building blocks we need. Further, the microorganisms and recycled cells in our intestinal tracts make complete proteins for us. All we have to do is eat healthy, balanced diets. An integral part of any healthy, balanced diet is fat. Don't cringe. Fat doesn't always mean fattening. Essential fatty acids provide us with energy and offer protection from heart disease, stroke, and high blood pressure. They also combat allergies, premenstrual syndrome, arthritis, and skin problems. Our brilliant bodies make all the essential fatty acids we need except for 2, linoleic and linolenic acids, also known as omega-3 and omega-6. These good fats are found in olive oil, sesame oil, canola oil, flaxseed oil, hemp seed oil, evening primrose oil, raw nuts and seeds, and avocados. So quit listening to all the stupid bitches who boycott nuts, oils, and avocados because they think they're fattening. Even though they're high in fat, they will not make you fat, unless you totally overdose on them. Unsaturated fats such as these are good for your body, and when eaten as part of a well-balanced vegan diet, they don't make you fat. It's the saturated fats found in meat, dairy, and hydrogenated oils that make you fat. Think about the source of the oils or fats, and use your head. Do you think an avocado, which is a fruit, is going to turn you into a hippo? Common sense, bitches. Chapter 8. Pooping. Pinch a loaf, lay cable, drop the kids off at the pool. Let's face it, there is no greater pleasure than taking a big steamy dump. But shitting isn't just for kicks. It is a vital tool for weight loss and optimal health. Basic math, girls. How much are you putting in your mouth and how much is coming out your ass? Now that you've learned the right foods to eat and which ones to avoid, you should be a dynamo in the bathroom. But if your hiney is only expelling little rabbit turds, something's got to give. Earlier, we mentioned that drinking lots of water helps rid your body of waste. We can't emphasize the importance of this enough. Drink, drink, drink. But if you want to take Tyrannosaurus-sized dumps, it's also imperative to eat foods rich in fiber, like whole grain cereals and breads, brown rice, corn, barley, rye, buckwheat, millet, oats, fruits, vegetables, especially root vegetables like carrots, beans, and seeds. Avoid foods that have little or no fiber, like meat, eggs, cheese, milk, and processed, refined foods. These can clog up your ass. Oh, it is a myth that bananas are binding. Eat 'em! Fiber isn't just for shits and giggles either. It offers protection from appendicitis, candida, heart disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, gallstones, irritable bowel syndrome, IBS, and colitis. Fibrous foods also help normalize our blood sugar levels, satiate food cravings, and make us feel fuller so that we don't overeat. Fiber even fights colon and colorectal cancer, prostate cancer, and breast cancer. If we don't make caca quickly enough, our putrefying food stays in our bodies, increasing the likelihood of the production of carcinogenic substances. So eat your fiber and crap like a champ. Another way to get your bowels brewing is to pay special attention to the order in which you are eating foods. For example, foods that digest quickly and easily should be eaten by themselves and early in the day. Fruit for breakfast, salad and or vegetables for lunch. These foods will pass through your body at lightning speeds. Dinner should be your heaviest meal. Follow these simple rules, and you'll be depositing 6 inches in no time. If you're already a quality dumper, feel free to disregard this paragraph. But if you still need an extra kick in the ass, up your bean intake. Beware, you might have a mudslide in your pants if you're not careful. If you're not accustomed to beans, ease in slowly and be sure you are near a toilet. If your deuce dropping still needs work, do not take laxatives. Yes, they make you poop, but they don't solve the underlying problem of why you're not pooping in the first place. Most laxatives are gastrointestinal irritants, even the natural ones. Stop looking for a quick fix. Just continue to drink a lot of water, exercise, and eat right, shitheads. Chapter 9. Have no faith. Governmental agencies don't give a shit about your health. The USDA. It's not what you think. President Abraham Lincoln founded the U.S. Department of Agriculture in 1862, when the majority of people were farmers and needed to exchange information about seeds and crops. In other words, the USDA was created to help farmers. According to its website, now, among other things, the USDA is responsible for the safety of meat, poultry, and egg products. That's weird, 'cause many high-ranking staff members at the USDA were employed by or are otherwise affiliated with the meat and dairy industries. And if the group responsible for the safety of meat, poultry, and egg products is run by people from the same industries they're supposed to be protecting us from, well, That would be a conflict of interest. And it is an enormous, ridiculous, outrageous, catastrophic conflict of interest. One former USDA secretary was forced to resign amid charges of accepting illegal corporate gifts from 7 different companies. He was indicted on 39 felony counts, including tampering with a witness, accepting illegal gratuities, making false statements, and violating the Meat Inspection Act of 1907. Tyson Foods, one of the companies that admitted to giving the secretary corporate favors, was required to pay $4 million in fines and endure 4 years probation. A mere slap on the wrist when the USDA could have barred Tyson from selling food to military bases and schools. That would have really stung, considering Tyson sold more than $10 million worth of food to the Defense Department alone in 1996. But friends don't treat each other that way. President George W. Bush's agriculture secretary from January 2001 until January 2005, Ann Veneman, not only had ties with the company responsible for producing the controversial bovine growth hormone, BGH, but she was also linked to a major meatpacking corporation. The buck doesn't stop there. She employed a spokeswoman who was the former public relations director for the Cattlemen's Beef Association, a chief of staff who used to be its head lobbyist, a former president of the National Pork Producers Council, and former executives from the meatpacking industry, just to name a few. Safety last. With that in mind, it's no wonder Veneman vetoed a program that would test all U.S. cattle for mad cow disease. In fact, out of the 35 million cattle slaughtered in 2003, the USDA only tested 20,000 for mad cow disease. Japan tests all of their cattle killed for human consumption. Of course, it wouldn't be in a rancher's best interest to test all of his cattle. If they were inflicted with mad cow disease, he couldn't sell their meat, and he'd lose money. Heaven forbid the USDA risk a rancher's profits. So in order to appear somewhat concerned about the prevention of mad cow disease, the USDA often refers to an FDA ban, which prohibits the feeding of ground-up cattle meat to live cattle. Big whoop. Banning cannibalism is a no-brainer, but why even bother banning cannibalism when they still allow the feeding of cattle blood to young calves? Stanley Prusiner, a Nobel Prize winner for his work on mad cow disease, refers to this practice as a really stupid idea. Think about it. A cow dies from mad cow disease, but no one knows because it wasn't one of the 0.0005714% tested? Cattle ranchers are now forbidden to grind up this dead cow and feed it to other cows, but they can give its blood to calves as part of their feed. How fucking stupid, disgusting, and dangerous is that? The USDA also likes referring to another safety program in place called the National Animal Identification System, NAIS. The NAIS is a system for identifying an animal's origin so that if its meat is found to be contaminated, it can be traced back to a specific farm. Forget testing as a preventative measure. Implement a system for after someone eats contaminated meat and we need a recall. Participation in this program is voluntary. Wow! The USDA sure has tough rules governing the safety of our country's meat. The USDA's website describing the NAIS actually has a section on confidentiality. It reads, "The NAIS will contain only information necessary for animal health officials to be able to track suspect animals and identify any other animals that may have been exposed to a disease. To help assure participants that the information will be used only for animal health purposes, the information must be kept confidential. USDA and its state partners will work to protect data confidentiality." What the fuck? The USDA will protect the data confidentiality of farms that are supplying the public with contaminated meat? Why don't they just give all the ranchers blowjobs, too? Many savvy consumers are catching on, and they know they cannot trust the USDA. According to the Organic Consumers Association, Lester Friedlander, a former USDA veterinarian, says he was told by USDA officials as far back as 1991 that if his testing ever found evidence of mad cow disease, he was to tell no one. He and other scientists say they know of cases where cows tested positive for the disease in laboratories but were ruled negative by the USDA. Trust no one. Illegal hormones are regularly pumped into veal calves, which are suspected of increasing the growth of cancer cells in the humans who eat them. The USDA has not only been accused of overlooking these practices, but also of falsifying lab results, altering records, and pressuring staff to lie about events. Even the selfish whores who eat veal don't deserve that. Business first. None of us deserve to be deceived all these years by the preposterous USDA dietary guidelines and food pyramid either. In 1998, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM, filed a federal lawsuit against the USDA and the Department of Health and Human Services. PCRM